Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
Red Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti. Today I'm in Rome in company of Rupert Everett, who's here to present the Italian release of The Happy Prince, which also participated at the last Berlinale. So, first of all, what did you choose to portray the last phase, the last part of Oscar Wilde's life for your directorial debut?
Because, first and foremost, I thought it would be a great role for me to play as an actor. And secondly, I think it's a very moving and important story for my life. And thirdly, because of that, and because I'm 60 years old and coming, I suppose, towards, you know, the end of my career, I wanted to say something about my experience as a gay man negotiating a business like show business. And this story of Oscar Wilde has so many important and inspiring things for me that I thought it was a great story to tell.
Why The Happy Prince as the tale that runs through the film?
Because The Happy Prince was how I first came across Oscar Wilde as a child. My mother read me The Happy Prince when I was a little kid in bed, and I remember that very, very vividly. And I think also it's a great story to run through the film. I think in one sense Oscar Wilde was rather like The Happy Prince in his exile. And I can remember my mum and me getting very emotional reading it together. And I think Oscar Wilde in exile is rather like The Happy Prince. You know, he's falling to pieces. The gold has been taken off him. But he's still there, and he was happy. He was never a victim, Oscar Wilde. He was always somebody who was very much himself, even at the end.
Who is Oscar Wilde for you? Who does he represent for you?
Oscar Wilde, per me, è un tipo di Cristo, mezzo Dio, mezzo umano, and very inspiring like that. I think. He's someone who, is a great source of inspiration.
The film looks and seems very inspired and influenced by Italian cinema. There are things that reminded us of Luchino Visconti, for example. Would you tell us more about your influences?
Yes, and I think I was very inspired right from the beginning, even as a child, because the first films I really saw that I loved were Franco Zeffirelli's Romeo and Juliet, and then I was in a Catholic school, so Brother, Son, Sister, Moon. And I think I knew about people like Danilo Donati before knowing about many Hollywood stars. And I think the aesthetic of Visconti and the costumes of Piero Tosi and the music of Nino Rota and Morricone and all these people was very, very inspirational for me. And if I do have any kind of aesthetic sense, that's what it's come from.
What were the difficulties you found in this first time directing?
The difficulties really were just in getting the money to make the movie, and that took many, many years and was very disheartening and but also very strengthening, I suppose, in a way. I think the struggle made me much stronger and made me much clearer about making the film. So when I did make the film, it was much not easy, but I knew what I was trying to do. So, but I think the worst bit was the 10 years trying to make the film.
How did you conceive the scenes in his deathbed? I mean, because I found them to be the most significant and realistic and truthful, but at the same time, they were full of creativity.
Because I'd always wanted to make the whole story really take place in bed, and that his brain would just take the spectator from one thing to another as his brain begins to close down. It starts to reorganize all the information of his life, And so that was the creative mechanism that I wanted to use. So I think that kind of fantasy going back and forth is because of that. I wanted him to be in a kind of expanding and contracting room. You know, he'd open a door and be somewhere else.
After this first experience as a director, would you like to go back directing again?
I would very much like to write and direct another film, or maybe be involved in a TV series.
What do you like about Oscar Wilde?
The things that I like about him is that he was such a that he thought he was when he was a big star. He was so proud and vain and egocentric that he didn't see what was happening to him, and I find that very touching. And I suppose it's something that I can relate to. And so the fall from stardom is something that resonates anyway with me very much.
What did it mean to you to play this role?
Well, it's the role I could tell when I was writing it, and that it was going to be a really fantastic role, like Quasimodo almost, mm-hmm. Some big elephantine kind of drunken... smelly man with just the memory of this incredible stardom behind him. And so in this one scene where he picks up a guy in the street and they go for drinks, and he tells him the truth, which is that he used to be very famous. And the story, for example, of when he was lowered down in a bucket into a mine is a true story. And in America, when he went across America, all these miners in a gold mine invited him to dinner in the bottom of the mine. But the boy doesn't believe him. He just thinks he's stupid old drunk, which I think is a very sweet story.
How did you decide to direct your own script and play Wilde?
At first, I didn't want to be the director. I wanted someone else to direct it. And I sent it to a very famous producer in America. And he said, oh, I love the script, but I think Philip Seymour Hoffman should play Oscar Wilde, and which would have been a fantastic idea. But I said no. And then I tried to find many other directors. I had no interest in trying to direct it myself, but no one would do it. And so in the end, you're left with a screenplay, and a screenplay doesn't exist without being a film, really. So I thought... fuck it, I'm going to try and do it myself.
Oscar Wilde ended up in prison for 2 years because of his homosexuality, and nowadays people luckily don't get incarcerated for that, but they keep being bullied and beaten, even here in Italy. I mean, what do you think about this particular moment we're living in?
I think the story of Oscar Wilde, the brutality of how society treats a homosexual, is strangely, even obviously it's not over in Russia and in Jamaica and in India and China, but the thing that's more scary than that is that in our own countries there is a rise with this these waves of populism, of homophobic acts in my country, in your country. There's a lot. Look at Bologna 2 weeks ago, the poor guy who wasn't actually homosexual being beaten up by a group of guys, and boys committing suicide because they're being bullied too much at school, a girl being burnt by her mother in Sicily, a boy being beaten by his family in Naples. I mean, it's gay pride in Geneva, no longer being supported by the city of Geneva. These are very, you could say it's nothing, but it might not be nothing. And so I think any type of minority has always got to keep fighting, to be honest. And I know it's boring to go on about these things, but the fact of the matter is, the way things are now, with La Lega, with UKIP in the UK, all these things, people like me have to keep fighting. And I think we're living in a very, very strange time.
When we met in Taormina and then in Venice, you told me that you wanted to do with Naples what Sorrentino had done for Rome with The Great Beauty. So how was to shoot in Naples then?
I'd love to do a whole film in Naples because my film only had such a small part in Naples, and Naples is a gold mine of actors and actresses and talent and stories, and it would be a dream for me to go back and do another story in Naples. I love the stories of La Pelle e Malaparte and all the end of the Second World War is one of my the most extraordinary stories of Naples in 1944, and one of my dreams has been to do a film about that, or a television series or something.
You're shooting in the Name of the Rose, right? The TV series.
See, at the moment we're making Name of the Rose, which is great. I'm doing, and I've got a really good part in the Name of the Rose of the Inquisitor, and I'm doing that till June, and then I'm going to be in another film about the Second World War on the Yangtze Kayang, hopefully.
Thank you, Rupert Everett, in Italy, Rome, to present his first film as a director, The Happy Prince. And this is Chiara Nicoletti for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.